Aloha. Today's episode is brought to you by the University of Hawaii College of Tropical Agriculture and Human Resources and the Livestock Extension Group.
Aloha. Welcome, everyone, to the Livestock Bala'au, a podcast aimed to provide educational support, information, guidance, and outreach to our livestock stakeholders in Hawaii. We are your hosts, Mele Oshiro and
Shannon Sand.
And today we're just going to be sharing about workshops coming, workshops past, and some other updates in our little mini episode of our Livestock Bala'au. Yes. So
Should be exciting.
Yeah.
So I guess couple we can of start with things ones. Past.
Yeah. Why not? So most recently we had an aquaculture lecture, health lecture that was June 30th. And Shannon, I believe that one's going to be have a recording.
In Kumahana. So that's Hilo. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we are recording it. It is a public lecture. It is sponsored by Mele. Can you help me out?
I know it's led by Dr. Janae Odani, and it's part of her VSGP, which is a veterinary service grant program. So on top of the workshop that's put on for veterinarians, technicians, and extension and other health folks, she also does a public health lecture, which is this one here that was recorded and will be available later.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
And the other one that was recorded back in a month or so ago was our swine health lecture with Dr. Petznik. He was also here on our podcast as a guest. And it will be available soon on the Livestock Extension Group YouTube channel. And if you registered for those lectures, you will get the links through the email because we have your contact and it'll be sent out that way from Dr. Odani. If you're interested in the recording, let us know. If you did not register, you can send us an email at bala'au@hawaii.edu and we can go ahead and forward that link because you need to get the link in order to be able to view the lecture. Video. Yeah.
I bet that was cool though, because I was just like, we had a short interview with him 1 month and a couple months or so back. And he's so fascinating. It's so interesting. Such a cool perspective.
Yeah. Very, very informative. Did lots of experience working and working here with some of the producers and down in the Pacific. So he's very familiar with the area. So if he's listening, we are going to reach out to you again, Dr. Tom, and get you back on the podcast so we can talk more about some hogs.
Yeah.
But upcoming, Shannon, you want to share what we got going on this month?
So this month we have Dr. Dylan Faze. He's going to talk about beef cattle retained ownership. He's come up with some really cool tools. So while we will have this on our regular audio podcast, we also generally have videos to go along with it most months unless something happens because life happens for everybody, I think, at certain times, but we will have a video for this so that you can actually go in and see the tools and see how it works. And he goes through an example or two with it. So it should be really good, really interactive, and some opportunities for people to go in and play with some decision tools and stuff soon.
Yeah. So. We also have a extension publication that comes along with this web-based support tool. So you can have a written, you'll have an audio, and you have a video demo of how to use that tool. So
And I'm just at that point in life where I like video. Like, again, I guess it just is like part of our generation. I really like videos. For me are a great learning tool because sometimes I just need to see someone else go through the steps in order for me. So I really appreciate that we have like all of those different forms for people to go through it. So,
for sure.
And our friends from FSA sent us some updates. Mm-hmm. They informed us that interest rates continue to rise, which I think we're all aware of it. Inflation has been a big thing. We've had record-breaking inflation for the past now 8 months, I believe, if I remember correctly, because it's a thing I like to keep up with. However, USDA rates remain lower than anywhere else at 3.75% for real estate and 3.625% for operating loans. They asked us to let you know that they cannot refinance real estate debt, but they can refinance farm operating debt. So if you need capital to operate your farm, as many of us do every year, every 2 years, every 6 months, again, depending on what you're growing, that's an option. Generally, FSA is pretty good about that. And then farmers, you can just contact your local FSA. I say farmers, sorry. farmers and ranchers can contact their local FSA offices for more details. So,
yeah, and the Livestock Forage Program is currently open for 2022. Sign up in Hawaii, Maui, and Honolulu or Oahu counties. And the deadline to sign up is January 30th of 2023. So LFP, if you're not familiar, provides payments to the producers who suffered a grazed forage loss due to the drought. So it usually applies in those counties that are impacted with drought and currently.
And then the 2023 non-insured crop disaster assistance program, the NAP program, NAP, is also currently open for sign up on grazed forage crops, AKA grass, basically. The deadline to sign up is the end of the year, so December 31st, 2022. And the coverage would be for the 2023 crop year starting in January 1 and going to December of the next year of 2023. So,
Yeah. And so continuing on with some other updates on the health end of side. So just for those, we spoke about this last month, but there is a quarantine order number 158 for bovine tuberculosis. And this update we have here comes from Young Brothers. So those shipping animals, you know, due to the recurring outbreaks of the bovine TB throughout cattle, and you know, it does impact swine herds as well. Central and West Molokai from 2021 to 2022, the Department of Agriculture is going to be enforcing the quarantine order for all domestic feral and wild ungulates. So ungulates are hoofed animals such as the cows. It excludes domestic equine. Again, it's excluding the domestic equine on the island of Molokai. If you, you know, these species are prone to the infections with bovine TB, even if they're not showing any symptoms.
Right. TB is very infectious, is my understanding, Melanie.
Yeah, it is. And so with the wild and feral populations out there, you know, you can't really separate them, you know, you can, but you know, there's always going to be some type of interactions. So just be aware of that. And, you know, for our hunters and whatnot that are out there, you know, be cautious about that. Don't transfer that, those animals and meat products and whatnot outside of the county. It's just to help prevent the further spread of bovine TB throughout the islands. You know, there's, once it gets into your herd, you really don't have much choice of what to do, and those herds have to be removed. So trying to keep it contained in one area is the best bet. So it is mandated by the Department of Agriculture to restrict those movements. You know, we're not talking about horses, but live ungulates on the entire island of Molokai are not allowed to move across the island or off the island without any prior approval. You need to have Form DCA permit to ship, and which is also issued by the veterinarian and Department of Agriculture.
The Form DCA, do they get that from the DOA or?
Yeah. Department of Ag or the veterinarian, veterinarian office will have it as well. But if you are in Molokai on the island or whatnot, and you need to move animals for any reason, and you have questions, if you're moving ungulates or whatnot, just call your local vet or call the Department of Agriculture and ask, because that's the best way to do it, so that you know you just don't have any impact there. But like I said, it excludes domestic equine. But any other, no livestock or wild ungulates, even, you know, transporting those types of things, you don't want to do that. So,
yeah, it's just so incredibly infectious. I was just, TB could get like,
So you can call, visit the DOA, HDOA website, or you can contact 808-973-9560 and get more information about the quarantine order number 158 for bovine tuberculosis. So, you know, we're just trying to prevent, you know, be responsible, spread. And protect that, so we don't have this disease come onto our other islands, the neighbor islands. So, you know, Young Brothers says, you know, they just send that out there. And this comes from Young Brothers as well as Department of Ag. You know, appreciate everybody's understanding to try to mitigate that spread of that disease. So,
You were going to share some information because we are going into July and August and September. I feel like those are generally some of the hotter months here.
Yes.
You know, stress is a real concern for any sort of livestock, really.
You know, you're your herds, you know, when we talk about heat stress, you got to think about it on your herds. It's the impact of the temperature and ambient temperature around them and the humidity. We live in a very high humid climate, you know. And so animals, you know, and I think some of this came up because we all know what's going on in the States. You know, Kansas had that really bad heat wave that went through there, a really high humidity for what their animals are not used to. They're not acclimated to this. And if animals cannot acclimate themselves to the environments that they're in and they get pressed with a heat wave or a big bout of heat stress, any type of change in temperature, you know, it causes stress onto that animal, you know, and if they can't acclimate, then they, you know, other physiological changes are not able to occur and it stresses that animal and can cause death, you know? So, other things that, you know, in the extreme end, it causes death on the more, smaller or lighter end of things, you know, it causes impact to their health or their production, whether it's beef, it's they're producing meat or milk or anything like that. So,
yeah.
And it can, you know, it can happen across any species. It happens
to us. Heat indexes are expected to be pretty high this summer, it looks like too. So I know for my folks on their ranch back home, the heat index last week, and you know, it's similar humidity to here because it's Florida, it's subtropical. I was like 107 one day. I mean, that's really hot.
That's high.
Like, luckily we've got lots of shade trees and stuff, but
and that's part of where, you know, you use this, the THI or temperature humidity index is used and calculated based on temperature and humidity. It gives you a number that you can kind of turn back and relate to the impact the environment is putting on those animals. Right. And so you can start to employ your mitigation strategies on how to help them alleviate this heat stress that they're getting or whatnot, and put those strategies out there, whether it's adding more shade, adding more water, ventilation, or some people use sprayers that's when they'll trigger their sprayers and they have misters in certain areas that will go on. And that just helps the cooling, right? But you need to have the wind and you need to have that cooling, you know. And a lot of times the animals are able to acclimate because we have cooler periods at nighttime. So it can, you know, their bodies can come back down in temperature and then they can come back up in the afternoon and just be able to deal with that. So think about it. We are, you know, our microclimates here on the island vary across the whole, you know? So, I mean, a lot of the study that we did, you know, when I was doing my thesis, we measured heat stress and temperature, humidity, and did all the tables in the Kamwala region in the northern part of the island. It's cooler up there, you know, so animals are not going to be stressed. But if you move yourself down onto the coast, Upolu Point on the Big Island and, you know, South Kohala and whatnot, It gets a lot hotter down there, you know, luckily. Well, and there's
especially
the wind.
If you take, it's like anything, like you take an animal that was raised in the Kamwela, like Waimea area, its whole life, and then you move it to somewhere else where it's, you know, completely different climate here. So,
So just think about that during the summer. If you're working your animals, try to work them earlier in the cooler parts of the day. Don't trek them along long passages when you have to be in that hotter point of the day, you know, and market animals that are, you know, getting ready to get butchered and whatnot, they have that thicker layer of fat on them, so it does take them a little bit longer to cool and takes more for them to cool. So just take those types of things into consideration because it can, you know, impact them overall and impact your return on them, right, if you start to stress them. So and know that it takes that animals to acclimate. You know, most times when you get animals coming down from the Mauka or mountain regions into your lower paddocks and into the hotter regions, it can take them up to 7 to 10 days to kind of acclimate to those areas and be productive and efficient on the feed that they have there. So know that they are going to pull down, you know, when you get them into those areas, and just take that into consideration. So just something that I thought, you know, something we can talk about is coming into summer and we're going to get even hotter. You know, August, September are usually points where we get really hot in here. So,
For the THI, that temperature humidity index or impact, I'm sorry, I forgot
index.
What it's called. Index.
Index. Yeah.
Are we going to link somewhere they can go to look at how to do that or calculate it or a calculator? Yeah.
Okay. Sure. I can put that in the show notes for you. And it's pretty simple. There's actually some calculators online and we just use the basic NOAA website. You know, we have weather stations as well now with the university at our research stations on the Big Island. We have in Kamwala as well in Kona. So put something out there. But
Well, and that's the thing. If you have those, when the university has access and has those weather stations and all those subclimates and those microclimates, it's so handy because I don't know. Again, at my previous university I worked at before, we had one like a lot of local businesses and local places would help fund that.
Yeah.
To support it. And I was like, you know, towards the end, like we would do ground probes so that you knew when the best planting time was, if you were seeding your ground for grass or what. It's, I mean, they just, so much information in those things. It's amazing now.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? So I'll put some links in there where people can find more information, just talking about heat stress, how you can calculate a temperature humidity index.
That'd be
and,
great.
You know, I think sometimes we don't think about it as much because we're not really running the feed yards, you know, feedlots and stuff have different impacts on the animals that they have to think about it versus us grazing outside, you know? So, but it can still, it doesn't mean that your animals can't get heat stress, you know, they could, but our animals are way more acclimated to where we are. And I think our producers are well aware of the better points of time during the day to be working them, especially during the hot times. We don't want to be out there when it's hot.
Yeah.
So why would your animals want to be out there when it's hot, right? But anyways, that was just a little bit talking about that and heat stress and wrap it all up
with our some livestock days in July.
Yeah.
So we're going to start with the big one, the 4th. Yeah. The 4th of July is Independence Day. So that's not technically classified as a livestock day, but I think it is because generally that's when a lot of us have barbecues and like enjoy lots and lots of smoked, delicious, barbecued meat, I hope. So hopefully you are enjoying that as well. So.
Yes, definitely. Yes, and July 6th, National Fried Chicken Day. Who doesn't love fried chicken, right?
No, I love fried chicken. So the 14th is National Mac and Cheese Day. So, and there are some really good like local cheese makers, I feel like, that do goat cheese here.
Yeah.
I was like, I know there's one in, I think, Pune and one in I want to say Waimea, right?
Ahuloa too, yeah.
Ahuloa. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, they're both so good.
Yeah. So July 20th, our National Hot Dog Day. Mm-hmm. Can't forget that one. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think the chicken guys are yucky, right? There's like almost two different chicken days in July.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. July 29th is National Chicken Wing Day.
Yeah.
Which I also love chicken wings.
Right?
It's all fried.
It's all fried.
But so good. So good.
Yeah.
So, all right. So that's it for our national days in July. Make sure to join our Facebook page, the Livestock Extension Group, if you haven't already. Be sure to visit the UHCTAR Extension website and our YouTube channel listed in the show notes.
Yeah. For additional information about this and any other topics or comments, send us an email at balaao@hawaii.edu.
Oh, and before we go, show some love for your favorite podcast. That's us, by the way, by leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts or anywhere you listen to this. And then stay tuned for next month.
That's right. And thanks again to our sponsors, the Western Extension Risk Management Education Center, USDA NEPA, the Livestock Extension Group, and CTAR. Mahalo for listening to Livestock Palau Mini. Ahui ho.
Ahui ho.